put it in. Open the Audit, Risk and Governance Committee meeting at 5:37. Oh, no, is that? It's 5:32. We acknowledge the traditional owners, the Kariyarra people. Item three, recording of attendance and apologies. Mayor Howlett is an apology. Nina Panganis is an apology. Item four, response to previous questions. Item 4.1, questions from the public at Audit, Risk and Governance Committee meeting held on Tuesday the 8th of March. There are nil. 4.2, questions from the community members at Audit, Risk and Governance Committee meeting held on Tuesday the 8th of March. There are nil.
Through the chair, for me, that should, in my view, ask the questions today.
That would have been public statement time, I think. 4.2. There was nil public statements. Item 5, public time. It's important to note that this meeting's been recorded on audio tape as an additional record of the meeting to assist with minute-taking purposes, which may be released upon request to third parties. If you do not give permission for recording your participation, please indicate this at the meeting. The public is also reminded that in accordance with Section 6.16 of the Town's Port Hedland's local law on standing orders, nobody shall use any visual, vocal, electronic device or instrument to record the proceedings of any meeting unless that person has been given permission by the presiding member to do so. Members of the public are also reminded that in accordance with Section 6174 of the Town of Port Hedland's local standing orders, mobile telephones must be switched off and not used during the meeting. 5.1, public question time. Do we have any questions from the public today? No question. Question time was opened at 5:35, and there is no public questions from the public. So we'll close public question time at 5:35. And 5.2, public statement time. Do we have any public statements? Public statement time opened at 5:35. Do we have any public statements? So public statement time closed at 5:36. Item 6, questions from members without notice. Do we have any... I'll just go clockwise, guys. Do we have any... Louise? Mr. Atwood?
Yes, I have two, actually. We had a briefing on the 7th of last week, and an item was put up with regard to the draft Board of Risk Governance Committee terms of reference. It was quite a big document. I just wonder whether they consider that as being a workshop or what sort of thing, because our motion puts down that we have a workshop on this terms of reference.
Director?
Through the chair, it was my understanding that was an introduction workshop to the Audit, Risk and Governance about the terms of reference. I suppose at tonight's meeting there is the opportunity to request that workshop if that was required, but that was to provide an overview of some terms of reference for consideration.
Just to the chair, the minutes say that we wanted a workshop on the particular item. And I don't consider that on Thursday was a workshop.
Would you like to have another workshop relating to that item?
I don't consider that a workshop the other night.
Well, we can.
Through the chair, my recollection of the outcome of that workshop, notwithstanding the fact that your view is that it wasn't a workshop, was that there would be a subsequent workshop, with the outcomes of the first being the inclusion of the paragraph that you sought, which we agreed to on the day, plus the other inclusions were going to be the example City of Melbourne one, plus the existing terms of reference from DLG's guidelines, Department of Government's guidelines on audit. So they were going to be presented at the next workshop again. That was my understanding of the outcome of that particular workshop. So we haven't concluded the process yet, was my understanding.
Can I just clarify one thing? Well, that it was at the workshop that I was absent at.
It wasn't a workshop, it was a briefing. I just wanted...
Okay, it was at the meeting that I was absent at.
Yes.
Okay, right.
I just wanted a word... Briefing. When we go to briefings, I thought we'd a briefing about the agenda. And I don't see that item down here as an agenda item.
Director?
Through the chair, I will defer to the director and acting director in a moment, but obviously as part of that outcome, we've been given some further work to undertake. It's very difficult to turn a report around within 5 working days and give due consideration to that. I think the acting director also wanted to add something as well.
Through the chair, I concur with those comments. The intent is very much to have another workshop. I think that's set for this Thursday. Is that correct, Grace?
Not this
Thursday week.
Sorry, just calculating my head. We'll have another workshop scheduled for, I think it's the same week as the council meeting.
26th, is that?
Mm. Yeah, that week.
There,
2 weeks away.
There is one that's been cancelled. There was obviously a provisional put down for the 21st. It's been cancelled. What's the present time? What's this fitting into the agendas?
Through the chair, there's certainly an intent to have another public workshop. A workshop for the committee. I think the committee members' observations are that we may have used the word briefing on the day, and certainly the intent wasn't for it to be workshopped. And there was opportunity to ask comments and the like, but if that was insufficient and we need more time, then the intent is that we will have a workshop on the matter.
Through the chair, my problem also was I got notification and signed in. Yes, I had no objection for the meeting or briefing to be held at 3 p.m. Then the meeting was put forward till 12 o'clock. You know, and I have a problem with that. A day before, you know, it is a huge problem for me. I'm a volunteer here. I've got my other commitments which I have. And as I said, I had no problem with coming in at 1 o'clock, but I had to do things in a hurry for myself to get in for the 1 o'clock start of this meeting.
Noted, Mr. Atwood, and I agree. I was very busy that day as well, and I didn't realise the meeting would be changed, and I thought it was for a later time, so I couldn't attend that one either.
Question without notice. The next one is, we've had a briefing with Peter Keane. I'd like to have another meeting with Peter Keane, also maybe during the workshop sort of thing. Yes, some of the questions of the answers when he put up around this table here was,
yeah.
I want to go into further into some of those stuff sort of thing which he presented.
Director, is that possible?
Through the chair, I believe that is actually part of our plan moving forward to for Peter to do some more work and obviously present that information to the ARG committee members. Defer to the acting director if he has a timeline on that.
Through the chair, I certainly concur that it's intended for Peter Keane to come to this committee again via a workshop to talk about the proposed procurement policy. And in terms of timing of that, we do have draft procurement policy. In terms of the date, I believe it was set. Just checking where the date's moved to, but I believe it will be in about 2 weeks' time, but I'm unaware of the date offhand. I'll have to come back to you on that.
Thanks, Chair.
That's all. Councillor Whitlock.
I was just going to turn around.
Sorry.
I have a question to ask, and it relates to the methodology that we're going to use in relation to the investment of the funds coming from the import. I believe that there is a policy statement that's come from the Department of Local Government, and we don't at the moment have any access to that. And it seems to me that this is such an important matter that that should be available for a reasonable period before a decision has to be made. Now, the investment funds at the moment are only in there for 2 months, so we haven't got much time. So let's get it together. And if you've got anything, which I believe you have, that should be shared with elected members at least, if not this whole committee.
Director, do you want to comment on that?
I don't have any information I can provide through the chair on that. I will just defer to Executive Officer and Director if they have anything they can add.
And through the chair, to confirm the funds are currently invested with the WA Treasury Corporation for a period of 60 days at an interest rate of 2.18%. So that term deposit matures on the 10th of May, and you are right, we have received advice from the Department of Local Government and communities in terms of their interpretation of Regulation 19C of the Financial Management Regulations and what types of financial instruments the town can invest the airport lease proceeds in. So it is envisaged that a workshop will be held with full council next week to, I guess, go through that legal advice. It wasn't envisaged that this committee would be used as the forum to consider that advice. Rather, the information will be taken directly to elected members through a confidential concept forum to consider next week.
Well, that amazes me. I think it's a public... coming from a public body, right, which actually controls, you know, the elements of council policy, and certainly controls the acts and the ways of getting the policy across, and I find it incredible that it's so confidential, because it's not going to affect anybody to know what is in the public domain. Surely, questions that we might take from that in an interim basis would be confidential, you know, because it may affect somebody who might have thought that they might have had a Guernsey or something. It doesn't matter what it is, but it when it's still in council consideration, I would think that would be a very tightly controlled environment. But for the actual rules themselves to constitute something that's confidential is remarkable.
Councillor Whitwell, what is your actual question?
All right. The question is, when will it be available? And I've been now told that it'll only be available once we have a special meeting of council on this issue. I don't know if it's special, but it'll certainly be something that's concentrating on this. But we believe it's... Now, what I'm asking, I suppose, secondly, is there any possibility of getting this before the council meeting?
To the Audit Risk Committee.
To the Audit Risk Committee, and hopefully to other councils.
Director?
Through the chair, just to make sure I've clarify this correctly. So you want to know if this information will be passed back to council, and we're proposing a workshop next week with council. You want to also know whether it'll be provided to a wider audience.
I don't really see why it's confidential. But the point is that we need it as councillors, right? And we need some time to consider it. You know, like, we're getting short of time now. And so what I'm suggesting is we get it as early as possible today.
Director, I've actually got a question on this as well. I might be able to say it simpler. Do you want me to do it now? So I've So the 60-day deposit's closed and fast on the airport lease funds. When are we going to be informed or updated on the planning of the framework? Is that?
Well, that's one thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I just want the basic opinion that we'll be operating.
I've got a question Director? On this too.
Through the chair, as the executive officer's outlined, there'll be a workshop next week to outline the elements of the advice from Department of Development and Communities. I will also now just defer in regards to the planning approach for the actual framework as well, if you can provide some advice on that.
So through the chair, the advice from the department is not confidential, but I guess, you know, in respect to full council, it was deemed that councillors need to be informed with regards to the advice and the next steps prior to the information being presented to the Audit, Risk and Governance Committee or full council for that matter. So it will be workshop with elected members next week in terms of the content of the advice and the next steps, and then that will result in a report for either council or the Audit, Risk and Governance Committee moving forward. It was envisaged that a special meeting of council would be held in early May to consider the advice from the department and to, I guess, resolve on the investment framework for the airport lease funds for the 2016-17 financial year.
Now, you know, I think what's behind what I'm asking, and I don't know whether it's the chairman is thinking this way, but the thing is that there's no reason for them to be together. You know, if we can have some time to consider what is the, were there any new rules, I don't know, but consider the rules ourselves and then come along to the workshop and consider how we apply those rules. It just seems reasonably fair and honest way of going about it, you know.
I was just about to say the same thing. I can't understand, from it being from local government, why it's confidential that you can't send it to us on our councils so that we have time to read it all and then gather our questions so that we can come to the workshop. Because I think each and every one of us is very busy people and we seem to be getting less and less time all the time. I don't know if this is purposely or non-purposely, but I prefer people to send things to me so that I have time to read it and then come to the workshop with my questions, go through the workshop and go, yeah, well, these are my questions on it. It's from local government.
Okay. Do you like to comment on that, Director?
I'd just like to make, through the chair, one comment. We endeavour to do everything we can to provide elected members with all the time possible for consideration of items. And I can assure you there's no planned or agenda behind any sort of information going out. We do it as best we can with being prudent and making sure that information is robust, so it's not having to be called back or further information provided. So the administration does its absolute best to provide timely information, accurate information, and information that is can be duly considered. Definitely we'll take that feedback on board though in regards to timeliness. If there is opportunities for us to be more efficient in the way that we provide information, we'll definitely endeavour to do that. But also we'll take on the feedback around the table in regards to this particular obviously very important piece of information to be considered in the very near future.
Okay, so I have a question relating to what we've just spoken to. When can we have that information, the report that's non-confidential, supplied to us tomorrow? Director?
Through the chair, I will just defer to the executive office for that one.
Yeah, through the chair, yep, certainly no objection in releasing the information to an elected member. So for clarification, you are requesting...
I am requesting it, yes. Oh,
as opposed to members of the
audit. Well, is there a problem with that information going to the members of the audit, audit, risk and finance? If it's non-confidential, I don't see a problem.
Well, going back to my initial point, I think out of due respect to elected members, it really does require a council discussion prior to presentation to the ARG committee members.
Through the chair, if I may, I don't disagree with that advice. The perhaps compromise additional advice could be noting that the CEO is not assessing the request. The standing orders, I believe, states that the CEO can determine items that should be confidential or not in the absence of council resolutions to that effect. So, out of respect to the CEO in his absence, in my view, we will canvass the CEO overnight and provide advice back to ARG and all victim members with your request, which hopefully, depending upon his advice as to whether he classifies in terms of its confidentiality in his view, then we will provide that to EMs and or ARG members, depending upon the CEO's discretion. And I think that would be appropriate.
Okay.
Either way, we'll come back to you regarding that advice tomorrow.
Yes, right. I have one more question. In relation to the airport committee, can we get some clarification on the committee? Are we going to have that? Are we going to have a group other than the committee review the commitments of expenditure in the next 5 years on the airport by the lessee? Will the Audit, Risk and Governance have the responsibility in considering the risk to the town if their obligations are not met? So, Director.
Through the chair, I'll defer to the exec officer in a moment, but it's my understanding that the new committee being set up will actually be overseeing all that expenditure. There will be a representative from the town involved in that, but I'm not aware of anything needing to come back through Audit, Risk and Governance for consideration. Obviously we can do our own assessments of risk around it, or projects or elements that they're undertaking, but they are required also to present back obviously the work they're undertaking their first 4 years around master plan and also the freight hub, I think it is. But I'll just quickly defer to the exec officer if he wants to add anything to that.
So through the chair, the opportunity certainly exists for the airport committee to reconvene to consider those items that you put forward. So the town has completed a finalised statement of completion, looking out at the financial position forecast for the airport reserve for year end. So, and there are also outstanding capital works in relation to the current budget, as well as future capital commitments regarding the sewer and water services upgrade. So I guess that would be the CEO's prerogative and, you know, potentially a discussion with the current chair of the airport committee as to whether or not that group needs to reform to consider some of the outstanding items.
Through the chair, just to provide some clarity and interpretation of that, the advice given is that there is an opportunity for the airport committee to reconvene at the discretion of the chair or alike to discuss any outstanding matters. Just to clarify that, my understanding is that the CEO has provided advice or is about to, that the committee has ceased its function in accordance with its charter, that being a sunset clause that said it would cease and desist following the transfer. So, legally, my understanding is that the charter provides no opportunity for the airport committee to reconvene, notwithstanding the chair or anyone else seeking to. However, the council of the day can create a committee for any purpose if it so wishes. So that's a council's prerogative, and I suspect the way forward would be for the council, EMs, via the workshop that's proposed to discuss the wealth management framework and investment strategy moving forward. If they continue with the current recommended path of a external or internal committee, then one would question the need for that. If, however, the council of the day changes its mind or puts in place a different mechanism via that workshop through to a council resolution, then that's a council's discretion also. Thereafter, the Audit and Risk Committee have certain roles to play, if for no other reason than by virtue of it being audit and risk. And one of the risks would be management of funds, if you will. So in a broad sense, the ARG committee have an ongoing role to play regarding the management of funds, as opposed to a direct role regarding management of funds.
I might have been misunderstood. I'm not talking about funds, $160 million worth of funds. I'm talking about the $40 million of funds that was in the agreement for the lessee to spend on the airport within that five-year time frame. And I just don't want a situation where committees are disbanded and nobody is keeping an eye on the lessee's obligations to spend that $40 million on our airport. So
it's the milestones that that was supposed to do.
So my understanding in a few meetings was that we would have a group that would convene bi-yearly to review what the airport group is doing. Is that still on the agenda, Director?
Through the Chair, I've just deferred to the Executive Officer.
Yeah, so through the Chair, as the Acting Director of Corporate Services indicated, that it is possible for Council to reinstate a committee to oversee the outstanding issues or the ongoing issues in relation to the airport. So, as you just pointed out, the airport lessee does have a commitment with regards to capital expenditure over the first 5 years, and in terms of supporting that program, they are required to produce a master plan and for a member to present that to the council within 24 months from date of commencement. And as previously indicated, the town does have remaining financial commitments in relation to the airport as far as closing out of the balance of capital works for this financial year, as well as a very significant investment to meet, I guess, headworks, upgrading water and sewer services, and that likely is a two-year program. So I think there is probably sufficient workload and oversight to warrant, potentially, a council committee to be reactivated to oversee those aspects. So I think that probably deserves a council discussion at a future date as to whether or not council support going down that path.
I'd just like to ask a question. Do you see the risk assessment and acceptance criteria that we're going to debate on today, do you see that as being really pertinent to that issue? You know, because we're going to classify things according to risk, and this will be one of them, to where there is a risk. And it seems to me that once we have that properly right, perhaps in coordination with the people or whatever, that will help us in this committee at least make sure that we're getting some reasonable results. And I think that's the way I said it, but I don't know it's the way. I'm not asking to commit yourself, but I just think it's an avenue.
Through the Chair, it's a very important question, I think, in regards to the work that's currently underway. It's not only acknowledged but recognised that everything that we do needs to be considered at its risk level and what the potential effects anything we undertake has on the town. And that's no matter whether it's a marina, airport master plans, or the construction of an upgrading of current infrastructure. So, yes, I think the element, the discussion tonight is very important, and yes, it will play a very big part in all elements of work we have moving forward, and obviously be integrated as an important part of our administration's work program, whether it's you'll see it in council reports moving forward, and all elements of other projects and programs that are being considered for funding or support by the town.
I don't want to raise any more issues, but I just wanted to raise that one.
Okay. Okay, we'll move on to item 7, declaration by member to have given due consideration to all matters contained in the business paper presented before the meeting. A show of hands is 4-0. Oh, it's 4-0, yes. Yep.
Okay.
So item 8, confirmation of previous meeting. 8.1, confirmation of meeting of the Audit, Risk and Governance Committee held on Tuesday the 8th of March 2016. Do I have any points of clarification on the minutes? Do I have a mover to accept? Yeah, moved Councillor Whitwell. Do I have a seconder?
I wasn't here.
Seconded Mr. Atwell.
Wood.
Sorry, mate. Do I have any against? No? Passed 4-0. Announcements by presiding member without discussion. Okay, I have got a little bit of announcement. There's been a fair bit of coverage over the last week on the monthly statement of financial activity. The town has been smashed in social media, and I can see the mistake made by the community member on certain line items and their associated costs. I'd just like to add that this is not the fault of the community member. We should not criticise anyone that takes the time to review or scrutinise public expenditure. There is clearly an issue with the way the financial information is being presented to the public. Now, my interpretation of the Local Government Act, which states that the financials should be presented in such a way that allows council and members of the public to understand what's been displayed. So the Audit, Risk and Governance Committee needs to act and change the way the financial accounts are presented to the public. This is not complicated, in my opinion. We are in the electronic age, and a simple link to the full list of financial activity with all associated attached comments by officers on any line item included. And I believe this needs to be easily accessible on the town's website as well. So we should consider putting that recommendation forward to stop any other unwanted publicity for the town of Port Hedland. Okay. So item 10, petitions, deputations, presentations and submissions. Oh, am I done something wrong?
Sorry, through the chair, if I can just add a clarification. So taking on board your comments about improvements to the financial statement. So I think as an administration, certainly agree with those comments. And that was an improvement the finance team had made this year. So hopefully all of the financial statements, certainly for this calendar year, of one credit card statement for a whole month. So say there was a payment made to National Australia Bank for all of the town's credit cards, the first transaction of one of the credit cards was what was actually listed in the documentation. So that was, you know, we recognise that that was ambiguous, which is why those improvements have been made this calendar year.
So can I just clarify that? Can I just clarify? So, are you saying that now the list on the monthly statement of financial activity, if the town has paid by EFT an amount of, we'll say, $1,000 for you know, previously it was one line item, two jerry cans, like everyone's going on about. So, you know, those would say be $100. So every line item is now published online for people to view.
maybe not to that detail, but certainly the credit card example has been fixed up. So it would now refer to credit card transactions for March. In terms of the detail on the jerry cans, that's something that I'd need to check the monthly financials for.
Okay, so my statement referred to the total amount down the bottom and every line item showing they could add up whatever it was, and it adds up to that amount down the bottom, which will extinguish any criticism to the town of Port Hedland. Open accountability. Through the chair, director. Director.
Through the chair, I'd just like to defer to the executive officer for a comment.
Yeah.
So through the chair, Synergy does produce that's our financial suite, does produce an automated report in our monthly list of payments. And you are correct, it's only picking up the first line item from the purchase order, but we can run a report which actually picks up the full transaction detail from the purchase order, which I understand that you are requesting.
That's right.
All of that information to be included within the monthly list of payments. So that's something that finance can set up.
And just to add through the chair as well, we're obviously very keen to obviously address the ability for the council and committee and people in the public who are interested to obviously be able to access and view files and financials in as easy a manner as possible. And I think there's been a considerable amount of work obviously since late last year in September, where new snapshot has been produced, just opportunities to try and provide that quick overview of the council's financial position, including the ratios, etc. So, but always open to having continued feedback so we can continue to improve that interaction.
Okay. Councillor, we'll move on. Item 10, petitions, deputations, presentations, submissions, there are nil. Item 11, reports from officers, 11.1, Community and Development Services, 11.1.1, Community Donations, update for the period of 31st of March 2016. Do I have any points of clarification? Mr. Atwood.
Just with the Asian youth, baseball and softball, are all these kids going to school, or they left school, or what age bracket are we talking about?
Director?
Through the chair, I'm not aware of the actual exact age. They did participate at the junior baseball organisation, and they were selected to represent the state in regards to that tournament. Under the current policy, you're allowed to provide individual contributions to representative level per person. This is something in regards to the actual number of individuals who apply that we will be addressing in the future, and maybe looking at an opportunity where if there are a number of kids selected from one club to represent, which is a great thing, but there might be an overarching limit for the club to distribute an amount rather than the individual approach that currently is allowed.
Just through the chair, a policy on that. If some of these kids are working, sort of thing, we've got $4,000 going to one club here.
Four and a half.
Yeah, it's a, and yet we give to the Wishfires thing $2,000, sort of thing. I know I'm not against it, so I just want some clarification on whether these kids are working or they're not working.
Director?
Through the chair, most of these children will be school age. My understanding, I can't tell you exactly what age each of these kids are, but each of these kids, particularly they're in a junior association, would mean they're school age children.
I'm not against it at all, I'm supporting it. I'm just thinking, if we're going to start putting individuals, we have to set a benchmark with regards to what age group are there to be supported. If a person is working, they should have the ability to dump in themselves for a living. And maybe it might be a policy that, okay, they put 50% up, we put 50% as
that
well.
That is in the policy.
Yeah.
That is in.
Any clarification on that?
Okay, I have some questions on that as well. So the my understanding of the policy is that the support is limited to requests up to $2,000 in cash for groups, associations, and so on, total. So we have there a situation where, you know, there the Southeast Asian Youth Baseball has actually received $4,500 in town funds. Is that can we clarify that, Director?
Yeah, through the chair, individuals who have been selected to represent the state or higher honours are allowed to apply individually for support for travel, uniform costs, etc. So that actually sits with outside that policy area of 2,000 per organisation. The actual organisation, I think that is that's the tournament they're attending, not the organisation. I suppose we're supporting directly, and those individuals. As any individual who's selected is allowed to apply for up to $500 to be supported through travel and uniform and associated costs. And obviously, most situations, $500 isn't going to cover all your travel or uniform expenses from a selection at to a higher level. But just, I suppose, realising that this is something that has come through probably in the last two quarters, where there has been a high number of individuals being supported for one particular outcome, and we will be addressing that in the new policy to if there is a cap of a club or a tournament, that we can put a cap on the amount and the club can distribute to the individuals who have been selected.
Can I find out whether this funding has already been paid?
Yes, through the chair, yes it has.
Okay. Also, why is there no policy section shown on here? On the section of the policy under which approval authorization was given, I don't see it.
Through the chair, the statutory and policy application just refers to the council policy, doesn't actually currently show the actual section, but it does outline the request CEO and obviously the mayor to sign off on all applications. Anything outside the policy can be reported directly to council for due consideration. But we'll take that on board in regards to including that information in future reports, if that is helpful.
Okay. I'm a little bit concerned that the policy is actually not being followed. So if we read E, the Chief Executive Officer will present quarterly to the Audit Finance Committee a schedule of all grants donations made since the previous Audit Finance Committee meeting, detailing the guarantee, the amount, the purpose of the grant, and the section under the policy which approval authorisation was given. Obviously that's not there. It says the Audit and Finance Committee will make recommendations to the next ordinary meeting of council in regard to the approval or otherwise of applications received that fall outside the delegation of the Chief Executive Officer under this policy. So the reason I say F is because of the amount of $4,500, which I think may fall outside the 2,000 maximum range. Could I get a some sort of
clarification?
Yes.
Yes. So through the chair, each of those is an individual application for $500. There is a policy that one doesn't limit the amount of people who can apply, who are selected, who can apply, and hence if they're from the same sport, it is something the policy hasn't considered, and we would like it to consider that in the future to cap the amount that one organisation can provide or can be given in regards to individuals' travel for higher ons. I'm also more than happy to provide an update in regards to the report format to ensure that under the policy implications it clearly articulates the actual section of the policy.
Mm-hmm.
And if you would also like it in the schedule as well, we can also highlight not just the GL account but the actual area that it's coming from as per the policy.
Okay, so again, my understanding of the policy says that we need to review the money that's been given, and I'd say the only way to do that is to actually receive the applications, to the committee. The committee received the applications to make sure that the application has been filled out correctly, because the policy states that we need to view the authorisation of the person, whether they are actually authorised to ask for the funds. And there's a whole range of other stuff which I don't see in this report. So yes.
Through the chair, policy, notwithstanding your interpretation and reading of it, and the reading of staff that does comply with policy, the way forward for next round, potentially, is if there are concerns regarding how the delegation is being applied, then every year the council assesses and approves, by law, the delegations it gives to staff. So, for example, this particular policy has a delegation to the CEO to implement the policy. So not just do you have an opportunity to review the policy, which ARG certainly recommended through to council recently, but also coming to council in, I think, OCM May, is the annual review of delegations. So this particular delegation will come before council.
Okay.
And just to add through the chair as well, that obviously we will be putting forward a revised policy in the next month or two in regards to this subject also. And that was based on some of the feedback we had at our workshop.
Mm-hmm.
Was it 2 weeks ago?
Through the chair, can I just ask, what policy is that that we were just talking about?
Policy 6-003, funding and donations policy. Okay, with no other points of clarification, do I have a mover for the officer's recommendation?
It's just a note, isn't it?
Yep.
Just take one.
The recommendation is that... do you want me to read it? Moved Councillor Whitwell. Do I have a seconder? Councillor Newbury, do I have any against? Against? Passed 4-0. Item 12.2, Office of the CEO, 11.2.1, the Risk Assessment and Risk Matrix. Do I have any points of clarification? No points of clarification?
Yes.
Yes?
Points of clarification. The methodology, when we do risk assessment out on the mine site sort of thing, we come up with risk assessment, right? We do our figures, then we see how we can lower those figures. Are we going to get both figures by the CEO presented to us?
Director?
Through the chair, so you're talking about an initial assessment and then what the after mitigation, what the residual risk is still on the project?
Yes, yes.
I'll just defer to the executive officer. You might want to explain, I suppose, the overarching process for the risk matrix.
So, through the chair, as contained within the report, it is recommended that any event with a risk ranking of greater than 10 be included on the Town of Port Hedland risk register, and that risk register be presented to the ARG committee as a standing item for regular review. It is also recommended, and this will be contained within the report to council, that any event with a risk rating higher than 17 actually see the development of a risk management plan for that activity or project, with a view of adequately addressing those risks to ensure that those risks are mitigated and reduced to an acceptable level. So anything of a high risk rating be included on the risk register. Anything with an extreme risk rating be deserving of a risk management plan with a view of adequately addressing that risk. So that risk management plan will be an internal document and will be required to be developed by the responsible officer. So I don't believe that document needs to come to the ARG committee for review, but certainly will be part of our risk mitigation efforts, which will be reported on the risk register as an action by staff.
Just through the chair, the question I'm asking is, the initial risk assessment comes up with a figure, right?
Yes.
I just want to know what the second figure comes up to reduce that risk sort of thing. There is, you know, there will be two figures in most risk assessments there are. I just want to, you know, to verify how they got from their first initial risk to come back to the second risk, and what those strategies were to reduce that risk.
So through the chair, the risk assessment will produce a risk ranking. As part of that assessment, opportunities will be identified as how the risk can be reduced. That forms part of the actual initial risk assessment. So through that process, by looking at, I guess, the nature of the activity or the event, and a dissection of, all of the subset activities beneath that, that will determine whether there are opportunities to reduce that risk ranking. My point being that anything which is determined to be of an extreme risk, a dedicated risk management plan will be requested to be prepared to support the continuation of that activity or project to ensure that risks are maintained at an adequate level. So,
just through the chair with me, I'll go to the environment, right? Number three, you're going to impact management by external agencies. Who are the external agencies under environmental?
So through the chair, external agencies would generally be DER, the Department of Environmental Regulation. The town undertakes a number of activities which have an impact on the environment. They may well be land development activities in terms of landfill. The airport also have an environmental impact. So a range of municipal activities would be assessed against environmental implications, and the responsible party would generally be the Department of Environmental Regulation on that one.
Just for the chair, my concerns with oil spills and all that sort of stuff, fuel spills sort of stuff, it is a great big risk on the amount of vehicles this organisation has. I know when I'm in the community office, I have spill trays down all the time when I do refuelling.
Yes.
I just want to get, the environment is a huge problem.
So through the chair, we will have our contaminated sites listed on the risk register, provided that the risk ranking is greater than 10. So that would be an instance where your environmental consequences are generally considered moderate or greater, given that the measures of likelihood for environmental contamination are generally ranked as a minimum of a possibility. So local governments have a number of operations and activities which may give rise to contamination, and that needs to be adequately monitored.
So through the chair, again, with the structure you've got there, the difference between 16 and 17 sort of thing, or say 9 and 10 sort of thing, you can't do, if a thing is 16 and a half sort of thing, do we go into extreme then, or, that's with the environment I do have a problem with the environment stuff. The systems.
Director?
Look, through the chair, I'm not too sure if we work in halves. We'd always probably work on a more of a.
Yeah, but I'm talking the cut-off line is exactly 16 or what, you know?
Yeah, look, and I suppose those are some of the things you need to have a cut-off line at some point. It's a matter of understanding, I suppose, what the risk is and whether you, if it's high enough to be a 16, then whether you call it a 17. I suppose that's why when we get to that sort of level, we bring it back and put it on the register and let the Risk and Governance Committee obviously have a look at that. Obviously, the higher the risk, risk management plans in place outline mitigation actions, which can potentially reduce that risk, but obviously potentially sometimes with that there is a financial element to mitigate.
So, Chair, my concern is, okay, we had 20 people around the table when we done our risk assessment. We broke up into groups of five, which had four groups. Sorry, we broke up into groups of four, which we had five groups. Three of those groups had the same figures come out, and two groups the other had another different figures. Really. So to getting back to those figures, it was, you know, it's quite difficult to for everybody to agree what the risk is. Not all 20 agree to the same risk.
Director?
Through the chair, I might just refer to the executive officer in regards to, I suppose, LGIS and the processes we've gone through and working through some of the risk, identified risk.
I'm talking about methodology,
That's correct.
So through the chair, it is recommended that the Audit Risk and Governance Committee support the proposed framework. That framework does include some qualitative and quantitative measures in terms of how the likelihood and consequence is to be measured. But you are right, it is generally a subjective measure, which is performed by the responsible officer. It is recommended that any activities or events with or projects with a risk ranking higher than 10 be presented to the Audit Risk and Governance Committee. So I think having oversight of the risk register, if there are any risk rankings which I guess have been identified as required for review, then certainly the committee can become involved in looking at those particular risks which are detailed on the risk register, and there will be supporting documentation that sits behind each of those in terms of how the risk ranking was derived and what the risk mitigation efforts are in terms of appropriately monitoring and reducing that risk exposure.
Yes, I'm not knocking the matrix or anything. I'm just questioning the methodology which is going to take place.
Yes.
I think that as a risk person on the Audit Risk Committee, I'd like to see a methodology presented to us. How are you going to come to those conclusions sort of thing?
Director?
Through the chair, as the executive officer pointed out, it will be, I suppose, subjective depending on the officer undertaking it and their understanding, I suppose, of the risk and their expertise and their technical abilities. There, I suppose, are opportunities to obviously upskill the administration in regards to the risk assessment process as well, and also potentially around the peer reviewing of risk assessments before it reaches maybe an opportunity to get to Audit Risk and Governance. But I will defer to the executive if he has anything else to add to that.
Through the chair, so in relation to the measures of consequence, which are detailed on page 23, those definitions are, I think, pretty well explanatory. So that would be more of an objective assessment. We did discuss at the workshop last week whether the financial limits need to change for each of the levels, given that this is a generic template prepared for the local government sector and the town, I guess has a little bit more financial capacity than the average local government in Western Australia. The measures of likelihood is more so the subjective measure, sort of based on mathematical probabilities, which are not difficult, which are sometimes very difficult to try and quantify.
So. Chair, my other concern is with those at the Audit Risk Committee going to fall, that the Audit Risk require attention to subject to be required to monitoring and reviewing one. Our minutes are not passed for a month sort of thing. And if we're going to review the risk stuff, how long will it take the council to get 2 meetings before our risk stuff gets to them or what?
Director?
That's the problem I'm having.
Through the chair, I suppose the timing is always going to maybe be a difficult one to manage in real time. Obviously, the AIG recommendations will need to go to council, so we can investigate opportunities to try and ensure that I suppose risk issues aren't left or left waiting for too long a period. But there is obviously that process that needs to actually occur with ARG following up by a council meeting, and then obviously the following, and obviously time to be to obviously consider and prepare items for ARG and council as well. So I suppose having the risk register in place will always allow the will always have that available and be available for viewing by committee members, and obviously we're always open to comments and feedbacks from ARG or councillors.
Just through the chair,
yes.
We have adopted a risk agenda item on every meeting. Maybe it is time for the council to adopt that as well. So, we suggested,
director. Has it been brought to council? The risk stuff that we had adopted here.
I might just defer to the executive officer on that.
So through the chair, the risk policy that was endorsed by the committee back in November, December was presented to council for adoption. It is recommended that the risk matrix form part of the town's risk framework, and that that risk matrix be included in all future agenda items for council and committee meetings. So every single agenda item that will be presented to the committee or council for consideration will have a full risk assessment completed. For that topic. If that risk ranking is greater than 10, then that item will then be moved into the town's risk register to ensure that the committee have regular oversight over that activity or project.
So Council, I'm talking.
Both committee and council, okay. So it will be a two-way reporting process. So we'll go to the committee first and foremost for review and recommended actions, and then now those recommended actions will be presented to council for consideration.
Councillor Newbury?
Just the only one question I have, the risk acceptance criteria. Under responsibilities, don't you think it should come to council when it's high? Not when it gets too extreme.
Director?
Through the chair, by the nodding of the executive officer, I'm saying that yes is the answer.
Yeah, so through the chair, that is a recommendation. So anything
so
with a risk ranking
changing,
of high or greater, so high or extreme, with a ranking of greater than 10, be included on the risk register.
So you're going to change this then? Direct to CEO?
So that can be changed to
that's what I'm
director,
saying.
CEO, council.
Council.
Yeah.
So it should come to council once it's hot.
Yes.
Right.
That's correct.
Yep, beautiful.
Okay. No other points of clarification? Oh.
Through the chair, prior to the item being considered, I guess just going back to the financial impacts in the measure of consequence, is there an appetite from the committee to review those thresholds as detailed on the screen? So full catastrophic, it's got more than $3 million, but
I was thinking $1
million. So, I mean, the threshold can move either way, if that was the appetite for the committee, but I guess the feeling was, last week during discussion, that an event of a $3 million consequence for the town of Port Hedland, you know, probably wouldn't be catastrophic in terms of the town's ability to recover from that financial event compared to, say, a much smaller local government with an annual budget of $20 million. So I guess it's quite subjective in terms of what you would consider to be an appropriate threshold, but there is an opportunity to revisit those if the committee wished.
Yes, through the chair. I, as a company, have to, public liability is $20 million automatically, you know. And this $3 million is just too low for fatalities and all that sort of stuff.
Too low.
Yeah. $3 million is nothing.
Through the chair.
Councillor Wood.
Could we have an example of catastrophic?
Director.
Fatality.
Through the chair. Look, I spoke. One was, please direct me if I'm wrong, but I think it was the City of Vincent. that maybe a few two years ago, I think it was, didn't quite follow through on their end of year surplus. Turned out to be an end of year deficit of 7 mil. Turned around, they'd had a $20 million hole. While that was a huge dent in their budget, it still didn't topple that organisation over. So you could actually make an assumption that it really wasn't catastrophic. The organisation was able to, yes, from an outside perspective, you'd have a different view potentially. But as an organisation moving forward and being able to recover, it was able to do that. And that was the sort of level of financial risk that, that hit them. So with a $3 million identified catastrophic category here, would $3 million, notwithstanding a community perception of $3 million loss or something going on, would that be enough from an internal analysis of the risk to the town, be enough to go, you know what, that's catastrophic? So
especially when you look at, we get 27 million in rates.
Through the chair, and by law you can surcharge the ratepayers again in the same financial year should you wish to, by law. Not that I've ever heard council ever doing it, but it's possible.
I was just going to say that. I've never ever heard of that.
So through the chair, the town is covered under various insurance policies for public liability, for fraud, criminal activity, and those limits generally range between $5 to $10 million. So there is a level of protection there. But again, it comes down to the committee's appetite for risk. Bearing in mind that any item, it's recommended that any item with a risk ranking not greater than 10 be presented to the committee as a standing item on the risk register. So, you know, generally that's a 3x4 ranking. So what would the committee deem to be acceptable from that risk perspective? So if you look at moderate, sitting between 30 and 300,000, if an event has a measure of consequence of moderate, and a measure of likelihood as possible, then that 3x3 ranking actually wouldn't place that item on the town's risk register. So it does come down to, I guess, appetite for risk and what is considered to be acceptable. So if, for example, that moderate financial impact was increased as to 700,000, even still, that may not be sufficient to place the item on the risk register, because it does provide, I guess, further leeway with that particular assessment. So I guess there is a strong argument for a much tighter parameter, but again, it sort of comes down to the scalability and the size of what the local government's budget is.
Just before we go, could we perhaps have a bit of a look at this, you know, in terms of other councils and what sort of risk they've had to take on that? We've got an example, a couple of examples before us, which seem to indicate that it's fine. But that might be a way of doing it, just getting a little bit more research. Not a lot. You know, in past this without as it is, but subject to, you know, a little bit more research.
Could we pass it and then amend it after we see what other councils have implemented?
Through the chair, my understanding is we've obviously adopted the policy. So we have the policy in place, and we're now putting in the framework for the assessment of risk and how we go about that. So obviously, at any point in time, the council has the ability to adjust the policy, and that obviously is at the council's discretion if they'd like to do that earlier.
The audit, risk and governance can also recommend that the council change the amounts. That's correct.
Through the chair, that's right. You obviously can make recommendations to council for consideration.
Okay. Then are there any other points of clarification? Yes. Chair,
just a question from Councillor Newbury on the reference to high and currently the responsibility sits with director stroke CEO, and the exec officer talked about the fact that it's certainly possible that suggestion to change that to director CEO stroke council, and that's certainly possible, and we're within the limits to recommend that to council. I just urge some caution about making that change. The number of activities that the council might undertake in any given year that might generate a risk level of 10 to 16 might be fairly onerous on the council to refer that to council each and every time. So my prediction would be that we would be receiving a lot of items in the 10 to 16 category that are managed administratively now by the organisation. So well within your ambit to recommend that change. I just urge some caution about the council's priorities in terms of where it sees it needs to intervene itself in terms of risk management, and I would have thought that the extreme 17 to 25 would have been the preferred opportunity for council to insert itself in that area.
Okay. Mr. Whitworth?
Could I just carry on that? These would be reported to council anyway in terms of, table or whatever it is we're going to get every month or on this. So, or if it's really felt important, it would come anyway. It's got to come, right? But, otherwise you lose the concept of measurement and action on risk. It's important for us to know, just from a public perception point of view, But that's...
Through the chair. I would still like to go with director, CEO and council on the high.
Director, comment on that?
Just through the chair, obviously, that will be on the risk register. So you would obviously have oversight of that. But just obviously... alluding to, referencing the acting director's comments as well, I suppose there is an element that it's could create a number of or extra amount of work for not administration but for ARG and council consideration. So by the end of the day, it is at the discretion of council to determine whether they would like that to be reported to them or not.
Just for the chair, that was my concern. If we go 10 to 16 and it doesn't go to the council, maybe where's the audit and risk committee? We should be putting it forward, which we've considered between the 10 and 16 to go to the council, if taking the council off the second line there.
Through the chair, those two comments indicate the opportunity for ARG as recommended at present, that you will have oversight of 10 and above. You will have oversight of it. It will come to ARG as intended and referenced. If, as Mr. Ackman suggests, that the ARG committee sees a particular assessment at 10 or 11 or 12 or 16 and thinks it should be 17, then they're at liberty to recommend to the council, and the council will determine.
Yes, that's where my time frame comes in, from meeting to next meeting, so where our motions are endorsed or things.
I think we're all, like they said, I think we're always going to have that problem with a time frame.
I've just got a question to ask. When we hit that column of responsibility, right, which is on this main chart here, to do with risk, it's on the coloured one, and its heading is responsibility. Ultimate CEO is certainly responsible for their actions if you start, but I'm just suggesting how do people see that interpreted, the concept of responsibility? I don't know, I'm just suggesting it's a more active proponent than coming back to a committee.
Director?
Through the chair, obviously, we're open to obviously some... I will make a point that obviously is part of a standard template of how it's being presented, the Australian standard template. So.
Yes.
So there we've got obviously the wording that has been used throughout many organisations, but at the end of the day, if there was a different heading or phrase that would prefer to be used, obviously meaning the same thing.
No, I'm just asking what we mean by that in terms of, you know, like, is on the ground, you know, responsible? You know, that's the person who's immediately there, like the supervisor, he becomes responsible, obviously, right? And it goes up the chain, you know. But it's got to be not just a body like us being responsible. It's got to be right in the nitty-gritty of how it works. Because we have in these types of facilities in the workplace, we have a hierarchy of responsibility going through the workplace, and they, you know, and if something happens, then bingo, it's one person who's responsible for that, with help, obviously.
Was I correct in hearing that the responsibility comes down to the directors and the CEO on that?
Yeah, that's right, an operational manager.
So through the chair, the level of responsibility, obviously, from the administration, obviously, will end up sitting with CEO, directors, etc., and right down to people on the ground who are responsible for managing that risk and making sure that the mitigations that have been put in place are adhered to. And you see that every day. The pre-starts, works and services, the depot, managing the risk before they go inside, understanding the risks that have seen the day before and how they're going to obviously manage that operational level. At the end of the day, the higher it gets up, there are obviously the bigger risk and accountability for the organisation as a whole, hence that level of responsibility. Obviously, we're hitting the red area. We've got a significant risk that I think everyone would want to be over and be understanding of the potential outcomes.
Okay, any other points of clarification? Do I have a mover in the item? Move Councillor Whitwell. Do I have a seconder?
Just to clarify that we're moving the one where the risk acceptance criteria for responsibility is high, director, CEO and council. Is that what the committee is moving and seconding?
No, we are moving the officer's recommendation.
Yes, because it's included of the attachment.
Yeah,
so is it going to include just director and CEO as per the officer's recommendation, or is it including?
As it is, as yet, so that's all
of that's where it's sitting at the present time, and obviously that will also come to ARG. Have council and there was a discussion around the table where I thought maybe you have with that level of 10 to 16 to be deferred or go to ARG, maybe be deferred to council as a recommendation of ARG.
Can I just clarify that? I would have thought that would have been the responsibility of the ARG anyway. So would it be beneficial to change that, because we would be recommending that it would go to council if there was an issue?
10.
That's right.
Yeah, true. Where at the moment it definitely gets put on the risk register and goes to ARG. And it was highlighted that potentially if it was assessed by ARG that it maybe need to not be a 10 or maybe there should be a 17 and deferred to council, then that can happen through ARG as the future.
As it currently stands, we have the ability to refer it to council as a current restaurant and the lower risk. So, did you want to put that amendment forward?
No, it's fine.
Okay. Okay, so we have a mover in Councillor Whitwell. Did I get a seconder for that? Do I have a seconder? Seconded by Mr. Atwood. Do I have any against?
No. To speak to you.
Hang on. No, I don't think.
I think we have
just moved and seconded the officer's recommendation. Am I correct?
Through the chair, you asked, is there any against?
That's right.
And I presume
there was
that understanding orders indicates that, therefore, you would not normally invite the mover to have 5 minutes. That would not normally be the case.
No, that's right.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's passed 4-0.
All right. Okay.
to clarify. Okay, item 12, late items as permitted by presiding member. There are nil. Item 13, motions which previous notice have been given. There are nil, but I would like to put some, I would like to foreshadow some motions that I've written up for the ARG, for the next ARG meeting. Can I give them to you now?
Yes, we can take them, so in accordance with the standing orders, you only have to provide a minimum amount of days, so if you give them to us now, then we can provide them to the CEO and you can consider them for the next ARG.
Okay, so can I just reference standing orders 5.44A? Okay, so I'm going to foreshadow these motions, so it's not up to the CEO to consider whether they'll be approved or not. It is up to the presiding member.
5.4.
5.4, 5A. Clarify, Director, that I have foreshadowed those motions, and I would like to see them in the agenda for the next meeting. Item 14, confidential items. There are nil.
Excuse me.
Yes.
Look, I don't know what you've done. Is it up there? Is it?
No, I've just foreshadowed some motions for the next meeting.
Don't you want me to know what they are?
Well, you will at the next meeting. I can give you a copy then. That's fine.
Well, I would have thought it was appropriate.
No, well, according to standing orders, if you're listening, I can just forward them and then they'll be considered at the, in the next.
All right, well, I don't object to them going in. It's just that I'd like to know what they were.
All committee members are quite entitled to foreshadow any motion that they would like. Okay. Item 15, applications for leave or absence for the next airport.
Next airport.
Audit.
Audit.
What about, why have I got this?
Oh no, it's the wrong agenda. Maybe it's just...
Oh, right, okay.
Item 15.
Yes, item 15, application for leave of absence for the next Audit, Risk and Governance Committee meeting. Do we have any applications? No, there are nil. Item 16, attendance by telephone, instant communications. Do we have any applications? No, there are nil. Item 17, closure. 17.1, date of next meeting. Next Audit, Risk and Governance Committee meeting of Council will be held on Tuesday the 10th of May. And 17.2, closure is at 6:55. Thanks for coming, everyone.
Is the briefing meeting going on as well at all or not?
Date was given.